Cattingill.
Check it out, Jordan.
Hour number two of the Sports Hangover, off and running with you. Well, Jordan.
Well, hour one,
we have learned several things. What did we learn in hour number one?
We learned that, we already learned that Chris Paul was an absolute beast.
Yes, we did, but we learned about the chicken shortage.
The chicken shortage.
That was my lead today. There is a wing shortage because of a rooster underperforming, or a certain type of rooster that Tyson Chicken decided to go with. They brought him in, thought he'd be a better player, you know, one of those free agent acquisitions, Jordan, and now he's underperforming.
Underperforming, gotta cut him.
Yeah, so, well, they are. They're replacing this type of rooster in the fall, and now they're saying be prepared to have a chicken shortage this upcoming football season because it may last until after the fall.
Hopefully Peep the Chicken is going off to a safer place.
Let me tell you something. All I know is I went to 5 different places in Metairie to find just a pack of wings, man. I was going to do, but you know what? Maybe it was divine intervention. My ribs turned out perfectly.
There you go.
It was nice.
It was meant to
be. Grill. It was fantastic. So I'm looking forward to the leftovers today.
We're talking about a lot of animals today because Madden NFL 2022 teased the cover of its next Madden video game with 2 goats. So a lot of people are wondering who those...
Like goats?
Yeah, actual goats. Like not
real goats.
Oh, no. Is this the commercial?
It is. It's a barn. Door's trying to open and...
Never heard this remix. This is horrible. Why is that a thing?
It's Peyton. Yeah. They did it again.
That's a little tease for you. It looks like an older goat and a younger goat.
Peyton who?
Well, the guy, I guess, is the farmer, backwards cap. He's on the phone. He goes, hey, it's Peyton. That's a hint. So, I mean, if they'd done it in the past, would have had 2 guys gracing the cover there. So lots of speculation. And those people that just like to ruin things for people because they can't wait to the 17th.
I think that's Peyton Hillis.
Satan that, you know.
Oh, that's Peyton Hillis. That's the...
Yeah, congratulations. That's, there you go. Yeah.
That's the guy that was an a one-hit wonder.
Oh, one-hit wonder is putting it nicely. So there's some footage and some photos out there of 2 players in particular at a high school field doing what, Jordan?
What? Where? Where is it?
Doing a photo shoot, man.
I didn't see it.
Have you not seen what everyone's speculating who the 2 goats are?
No, I just saw.
You don't know.
I just saw the video.
Really?
And 2 goats.
Well, who would be 1 goat?
Obviously Tom Brady.
You know, who just won the Super Bowl. Who would be the younger baby goat?
Oh, no.
That's right, baby. Come on, say it. I can't hear it. Nice and loud. Who is it?
Patrick Machoak.
I'm sorry?
Patrick Machoak.
You think he choked in a Super Bowl, huh?
He did lose his team a Super Bowl.
Oh, he lost it.
He couldn't get the ball out of his hands.
Wow.
Scrambling around.
Something's really wrong with you. You know that? I mean, he literally had you meet Daniel the Graf, buddy, blocking on the offensive line. I guess the most dominating linebacking core you've ever seen in your life. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Devin White.
He almost had, 4 interceptions?
Here's what I don't understand. For somebody that you think is so terrible, let's see, he's won a league MVP, a Super Bowl and Super Bowl MVP, and now he is, well, come Thursday, going to grace the cover of Madden 22.
This is not a for sure thing yet.
Well, there's video and photos of both of these quarterbacks doing a photo shoot together. I can't imagine why that would have happened in April.
Tossing the pigskin.
Just in their uniforms.
Yeah.
For nothing.
Yeah. Getting together.
Okay.
A little play date.
Unbelievable. A little respect, huh? What else is going on here that we can talk about it?
Well, what else is going on is something scary that happened over the weekend.
Indeed.
Christian Eriksen almost passed away after suffering a cardiac arrest in a EuroLeague championship game. He plays with Denmark, so very scary, and a lot of people are outraged because the referees had them continue on with the game kind of soon afterwards, and usually there's a ruling where it has to be a certain amount of time where if both teams decide to resume play, then they would be able to resume play, but I don't think they were given that option.
The coach has spoken on it. A lot of people upset with UEFA on this, and look, I wasn't watching it. I had it on Disney, you know, the kid. And my buddy Josh texts me, and he goes that I think I just saw somebody die on TV. I went, oh, wow. Yeah, and then I was like, that's pretty incredible. What do you mean? Like, I sometimes, like, you'll be like, oh, that dude just died. And you might be referring to, like, a hit or a car, right? You know, like, yeah. I didn't know, like literally pass away. So I put it on ESPN immediately, and then there you go. You see just the fans in the stands and all the reaction and everything. And, you know, it's kind of one of those things as well that you're following because, you know, I did you go to Twitter trying to find out info immediately and stuff. There's speculation he took the vaccine, and then that is a dangerous assertion because there's a lot of people that are worried about the vaccine, Jordan. And it's come out today that, no, he was not vaccinated. So that's the most important thing.
I don't think he
well.
Had COVID. He has never contracted COVID.
But the team doctor came out yesterday and did say that they thought they'd lost him. He literally went into cardiac arrest. And as Jordan said, he was about to do a throw-in from the sideline, and then he just collapsed face first, rolled over, his eyes were glazed, and they did CPR on the field. That's when cameras cut away. And they had to use the defibrillator once on him. And, you know, you look at a moment like that, man, and it's just, yeah. I mean, it was just tough to sort of, like, comprehend, you know, on that. And quite honestly, I was having this conversation with some people on the phone. And I'm surprised we've never really seen, I mean, we've seen Dale Earnhardt. I'm trying to think of deaths or moments of severe injury. We've seen, you know, somebody going up for a dunk and snapping their legs. We've seen Theismann and other players, you know, Alex Smith open fractures in football.
Chris Anderson.
You know, Dale Earnhardt Jr. saw the car hit the wall. We've seen way worse wrecks. And it's like we saw, you know, the driver get ejected or something like that, but he turned out to pass away in that accident. But yeah, I'm just trying to recall other sporting moments or games that you've seen the possibility of someone passing away. I can't really, and I'm not trying to make light of it or trying to say that it's remarkable. I'm surprised with all of the games and all and everything being televised, and we've never really had that happen, aren't you?
I guess you could say Alex Smith.
Well, I just said that, yeah. Like, we've seen, like, open fractures and things of that nature, but I'm just...
And Ryan Anderson, when he collided headfirst in Milwaukee, and he had to be taken... Memphis Grizzlies, and he had to be taken out on a stretcher.
Exactly. Uptown Ruler, thank you for giving us a call here in the Sports Hangover, sir. What you got for us today?
I got this for you. Somebody died in foot. I mean, whatever happened to taking his football player? I'm going way back in the game. Gene Howard, number 29, used to play with the old Saints.
I don't know. I don't know what you're referencing, my man.
Gene Howard?
Long time guy.
That might be before Gus and I's time.
Yeah, it's not popping in my
head. That was way before y'all got on the air.
Okay.
And where's Danny Abramowitz?
What do you mean? Like, where is he?
Where is he? I mean, what is he doing?
How many daiquiris have you had today?
None.
You've had no daiquiris?
No.
Okay, just making sure.
I mean, I like going way back and see what happened to those old players.
Okay. I mean, I don't know what he's doing right now. But
you don't know what he's doing right now. Okay.
I do not.
Let me bring you up to date then. You know Chuck Muncy died. Mm-hmm. What happened to Tony Galbert?
I don't know. Buddy, I got to move on. I'm not going to go through a list of who's alive and who's not on the New Orleans Saints and stuff, man. Thanks for the phone call today, though. We'll try again tomorrow.
All right.
Orlando, thank you for giving us a buzz here on the Sports Hangover. Orlando, what you got for us?
Hey, Gus. Hey, Jordan. I have one name for you, and I will never forget this day in my life of a teenager. Hank Gathers. If you remember Hank Gathers with Loyola Marymount, and he was running up the court right after he dunked the ball, and he was going back to play defense, and he collapsed on the floor. I think I was like 15 years old, and if I'm not mistaken, LSU beat that team in that year's tournament with Bo Kimble at guard, and to pay homage to Hank Gathers, Bo Kimble would shoot every free throw left-handed for the rest of his career, like the first free throw.
Dude, that was a heart-wrenching moment in story too. When you think about it, all these, you say that, it absolutely hit me,
That was one, but let's go to the NCAA baseball. I played high school baseball against Blair Barbier and Doug Thompson. I also played American Legion and All-American with those guys. Mm-hmm. And we went to separate schools. They went on to go to LSU. And baseball 20 years ago and 30 years ago, not saying that to diminish what Skip Berman did in the past, but now everybody has put money into their baseball program, and it's so much more competitive. You've hit the nail on the head so many times, that's why I haven't come with that. But just like with LSU championships, not saying that we have some of the best baseball players in the state of Louisiana, but so does Texas. And so does Florida. Florida plays year-round. I went to a camping in Florida. They play year-round. They never stop playing in Miami. And I just hope I like the Cavazzaro kid, and I also like the Bianco kid, you know. And I think just like we ran into with Coach O, you know, sometimes you just run into blessings with those guys, and I hope they pull a trigger on that. You know, somebody local, somebody who played at LSU, somebody that the fan base can get behind. And I'll leave that up to the guys and listen to the rest of the show. And thank you for the opportunity to call.
Appreciate it, Orlando, as always, man. Feel free to chime in
anytime.
Sure. So he thinks it's important to kind of have somebody that's tied in to the program one way, shape, or form. 800-998-1003. Also, something else in the NBA side of things. I'm not saying surprised, but I don't know. Blazers set to interview Mike D'Antoni, Nets' current assistant, for the head coaching job. Becky Hammon going to chat this week as well, as is to Chauncey, right?
Chauncey Billups?
Yeah.
I believe so.
Yeah. We'll keep an eye on that, obviously. Two games tonight, 76ers and Hawks. 6:30 TNT, 2-1 series lead for Philly. Jazz and Clippers, 2-1 Utah lead. But Donovan Mitchell, that was Tex and Ali Cosell when it happened. Late in the win over the weekend. Guess what happened? Injury to that ankle.
Oh, God.
And he hadn't been the same since. Sports Hangover continues next on ESPN New Orleans.
Summer heat is approaching, and so are the red hot deals.
Red hot deals.
At Craig LeBlanc Toyota in Houma. Shop online at CraigLeBlancToyota.com or at the store. Great offers like the sporty 21 Toyota Camry or the Corolla with class-leading gas mileage and complimentary two-year maintenance. Or the stylish and dependable 2021 RAV4 and Highlander. Stop by Craig LeBlanc Toyota and make this a summer to remember with your new Toyota. Only at your number one volume dealer in Houma. Craig LeBlanc Toyota.
Some people just have a knack for being there when you need them the most. Like your third grade classmate who sticks up for you against that bully. The neighbor who gives you a jump start. And the friend who chases away that flock of geese at your outdoor wedding. Your State Farm agent has your back too, through good times and the not so good. And who's got your agent's back? State Farm, the company people have trusted for more than 90 years. We're here to help life go right.
Call State Farm agent Ashley Barrios and cut off today at 985-632-0988.
Want more from your bank? Open a Cajun Pride checking account at State Bank and Trust Company and enjoy the benefits. Unlimited check writing, overdraft protection, online banking, mobile banking, debit card, ID theft assistance, safe deposit box discounts, prescription drug discounts, shopping, travel, entertainment discounts, and much more. Call or come in for more information about applicable fees and terms. State Bank and Trust Company. Cajun banking, served just the way you like it. State Bank and Trust Company, member FDIC.
Easy, convenient, affordable. Lady of the Sea Family Medical Clinic in Cut Off, located directly in front of the hospital off of Highway 1 in Galliano, sees patients from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. weekdays and 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on weekends. Same-day appointments are available on weekdays, with no appointment necessary, beginning at 5 p.m. and anytime on weekends. The added convenience of a pharmacy at the same location makes it the best choice for patients in South Lafourche. We treat you like family at Lady of the Sea.
What would you say you do here?
Sports. Sports.
All day long.
Hello, sports fans.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Looking forward to this one here. Rafael Esparza at VSI Doc Sports, the way to follow over on Twitter. Sir, how are you today?
I am well. How about yourself?
I'm doing really well, but before we get into, the fight over the weekend, NBA playoffs, the latest on Aaron Rodgers, I feel obligated we have to do that. I mean, Get Up does. But first, this is breaking news. You ready for the breaking news?
Sure. I'm sure it has to do something about the Saints or LSU or football.
No, keep going. No. It is about football. Tim Tebow has caught a pass in Jaguars minicamp, baby, from Trevor Lawrence. There it is. Trevor Lawrence, by the way, 7 for 7 on one of the team drills so far. And most importantly, I do have the tweet here. Specifically, I want to reference and give credit. Jordan Kleber, Maya O'Brien. Tim Tebow has caught every ball that has been thrown his way today. There it is. All that doubting. There he is. Tim Tebow catching it here, catching it there, catching it everywhere. So Rafael, you are now involved in this. Time to put up some prop bets. Will Tim Tebow win the Offensive Player of the Year in the NFL?
Yes, just how Jameson and will win best quarterback and MVP, and the Saints defense will not allow a touchdown all season long. All those are going to happen.
I'm already doing some show prep for First Take coming up tomorrow. Jordan, I'm going to ask Rafael the question. I'm going to send Screamin' A and Max Kellerman. Ready? Ready, Rafael, for you. Who's more important to their team,
ooh,
Trevor Lawrence or Tim Tebow?
Well, it's Tim Tebow. I mean, Tim Tebow can walk on water and separate the Red Sea.
There we go. That's all I like.
Well, Kelavon Chaisson apparently did not practice today because he tested positive for COVID, and I did see people on Twitter say that Tim Tebow has healed him and he will be clear for practice tomorrow.
That's a good one.
I'm serious. Twitter's having fun with this. This is where we are. I said this to start the show, Rafael. It's June 14th. We just got to get through this week. Okay. Got to get through this week, the week of the 21st, the 28th, the 5th, the 12th, the 19th, and then it's training camp week, the week of the 26th. We have 6 weeks, Rafael, to get through, and then we will have legit, real, honest-to-goodness football news. All that and said, though, are people upping the ante over there in the desert? Are you getting money? I saw a lot of people talk about the Browns late last week and early this week already. Mike Greenberg, the Browns, could be the team that goes to the AFC East. Who would be a surprise team, you think, that could make it to the AFC championship game?
Maybe the Denver Broncos when they have Aaron Rodgers as quarterback, or the Vegas Raiders if they have Aaron Rodgers as a quarterback. But I would think my probably biggest surprise that I think could pull the wool. I think maybe Tennessee Titans. They got the defense. Really? Now they can maybe spread out the field with some wide receivers. Now I would not be shocked, but don't throw in the New England Patriots. I mean, they're 3-1 just to win the division. So that would be a big surprise.
I have to touch on it because it's just, what set boxing back more, the Mayweather episode or the Lamar Odom Aaron Carter 3-round fight that got stopped after 2 rounds?
I would say probably that one, but that one wasn't highly publicized as a Mayweather, so I don't even get that many people. But I want to say that YouTube versus TikTok boxing match, I have to give those kids credit. Aiden had no headgear on, and some of those fights, we had over six-figure bets wagered on those fights. So it just proves to me that YouTube kids and TikTok kids, they have a lot of followers, and they love to spend mom and dad's money.
Okay, I see how that works. What stood out to you in the UFC? I know there was a lot of people that really were big on this fight here over the weekend.
I think the biggest one is Moreno being the first Mexican MMA champion. Right. I dropped a couple of tears when he won. I don't know. I was very emotional on Saturday, just starting off Saturday morning with the soccer guy. Going to cardiac arrest. I've been there, done that. And then evening, I'm sitting here dropping tears to see the first Mexican fighter champion in the MMA. So it was good to see. UFC was very entertaining at 263. Granted, some of the late fights went a little bit later because I wanted to go to bed. But really, Edwards, you couldn't finish Nick Diaz. His face looked like the ground beef I'm going to be using for dinner tonight.
Nice. What are you making?
I don't know yet. Good question. Not ribs. I mean, I wanted ribs, but I'm sure someone ate them.
You know,
all.
Look. Actually, I have an entire slab still at the house, and whatever's left over, I will be giving away tomorrow. I really do. I have an entire slab. I made two slabs, man. This is for Jordan and all the other ice hockey fans out there and around over the weekend. What stood out to you? And preview this week. What do you like?
You guys heard me talk about it on Friday. The Islanders, big upset win yesterday on a road beating Tampa Bay. Now, I would not be shocked. The Vegas always struggles on game ones in the playoffs. Would not be shocked if we see both road teams win. I think it's going to be a low-scoring game. I think defense is going to be key in this one. I like the under 5.5 between Vegas and Montreal, but I would not be shocked if the Habs pull the wool over the home ice tonight. And these Montreal people, there is 110 degrees in Vegas right now. I hope they're drinking water.
Well, it was 106 here, my friend, yesterday. I know that that's probably kind of close to what you're... I, you know what? I can't do it anymore. The Cubs swept the Cardinals. I cannot not go on any further without talking about this. Cubs swept the Cardinals. This is literally turning into the Major League movie, isn't it? I mean, literally in the morning, I saw a story from Jesse Rogers. He's their ESPN. He's their Mike Triplett, right, that covers the Cubs for ESPN. Yep. And he writes that Chris Bryant's going to be the MVP of the trade deadline. I'm like, why are we trade? This is Major League the movie. I mean, the team wants to trade all of its stars, yet they apparently all got together and said, let's just win the whole darn thing.
It's going to be very interesting if they continue to roll like this. I still think Kimbrough and Bryant will be gone no matter if they're in first place or not, because you can get so much talent back.
It's unreal to me.
I think Baez, Rizzo, and Contreras, I think they all stay if they hit floats. But I don't know what's more impressive, the weekend sweep or the beer snake that was in the outfield yesterday.
Yes.
I don't know what was more impressive, but come on, anytime the Cubs sweep the Cardinals, it's a very, very good weekend.
Look, all I know is I'm watching that in glorious 4K, and I'm sitting here, and what did I do? What did I do, Rafael, yesterday? I text you, when are we going to Chicago? Who do you know in Chicago? We need to go to Chicago. I need to go see a Cubs series. I got to. Come on.
I can't fly until August, so I'm not getting tickets if I can't go.
All right, fine. All right, let's get to the NBA playoffs here. Are you surprised by what you've seen the Suns do? Where were the Suns at the beginning of the season in odds to make the Western Conference Finals?
Oh, I think they were plus 850 or 9-1, something around there. Just because when CP3 landed there, a whole bunch of bettors jumped on them, so they went double-digit odds like some people think. But, yeah, I mean, impressive, yes, but, I mean, Denver was so beat up. I mean, it did shock me. I think I'm a little bit shocked that that they didn't win at least one game. I mean, Joker's foul was not a kick out offense, but I mean, now CP3 gets the rest even more. I can't wait. I'm just hoping Utah can get past the Clippers. I really want to see Utah and Phoenix, but that would be nice to see CP3 battle his old Clipper fans, peeps, in the Western Conference Final.
Mm. Makes sense. Makes a lot of sense there. I look at, and I had to double check here, Jordan. I couldn't believe the series is just 2-1. It feels like longer than three games. The Sixers-Hawks game, it feels longer. I don't know why it does, but that's game one tonight. I don't know if they've made adjustments on Trae Young, perhaps, or what, or how am I looking at this, but Philly's a 3-point favorite on the road. Do you think the Hawks make this a best of five by winning today?
I think they do. I mean, the whole betting public is all over Philly on this one. So I'm going to take the plus three on this one. I think Atlanta's backcourt puts up a big numbers. I think their bench is going to outplay Philly. I mean, because now Philly's bench is shortened with Green being out. So I think the Sixers' benches might be a little bit short. I like the Hawks giving a plus point at home.
All right. And then the Jazz and the Clippers in L.A. Clippers a 5-point favorite here. Man, I'm not saying it was a Cobra Kai thing. I think it was an accident. But Donovan Mitchell getting hurt in that game to win late, I think, has absolutely affected him. You could see it in game three. If Donovan Mitchell isn't right the rest of the series, I think the Clippers could win it.
I heard he practiced, or then I probably walked through practice yesterday. So I think he's going to be better in tonight's game. So I think Utah can steal this one, getting a plus five. But you'll know right away if he's not 100%. If he's not 100%, then the Clippers blow them out. And then we're going to see the L.A. show versus Phoenix, because I just think they need Mitchell to be 100%.
If Mitchell was 100%, I would have, I mean, it was seven games, right? I mean, it would have been seven. Suns and Jazz, the top two teams. But with Mitchell hurt, that's a completely different team. And do you think it'd be almost like poetic justice that Chris Paul would have to get through the Clippers? Because that was a team that, when he got there, they all thought that should have gone further and had a couple of early playoff round exits. And maybe I wouldn't say tarnished, but definitely put a hamper on what people would now call a Hall of Fame career. So it would almost be poetic justice, huh, if he had to knock out the Clippers in order to go to the finals?
Yes, but you know what? I still think the Suns got a bad screw job win with a Stoudemire and Nash that 1 year. So I'm hoping Phoenix, I mean, it's a great basketball city. The fans are starting to come back, even though they need to blow up that stadium and maybe build a new one. There have been rumors that they'd be leaving Phoenix, so I'm rooting for the Suns on that one. And I've always been a CP3 fan. He's never done anything wrong in my eyes for that. So I'll be rooting for a CP3 in the Suns.
I agree. And who doesn't like the State Farm commercials? Finally, you got the Nets and Bucks. Look, bottom line is this, man. If Kyrie Irving is hurt, they've done well without Harden. But if Kyrie is hurt with that ankle, can Durant alone knock out the Bucks, who have now tied it at 2-2?
No, because the Bucks decided, you know what, how we're going to beat this team is play defense. And if the Nets can't score 110 or more, they're not winning this series. I mean, I love the way how the Bucks have been playing defense. P.J. Brown has put on his Detroit Bad Boy jersey underneath his Bucks jersey, and it's been a big difference. It is defense and physicality. And right now, Brooklyn has – they're soft. I mean, Kyrie's always been soft. KD's always been soft. And what Brooklyn's doing is pushing him around. So I think we have – or I'm sorry, Milwaukee's been pushing him around. I think we have a totally different series, especially if Kyrie's out. But I think the Bucks can now win this series.
Interesting. Do you make anything out of it as we wrap up with Rafael Esparza on the Athletic article about possibly Luka maybe not wanting to be there for a while? Mark Cuban has now reacted to it as well. It's a very interesting piece. I don't know if you had a chance to read it as well, but yeesh. I don't know. It could be a lot, but Mark Cuban simply tweeted total BS with the entire word instead of the acronym. So something to keep an eye on or not, you think?
No, he's going to give him the world. They're just going to build around him, and the unicorn is gone.
All right, there it is. At VSIDoc Sports, the way to follow him on Twitter. Go check him out on Instagram as well, daily videos. And glad you're doing well, man. We'll talk to you soon at the end of the week.
Take it easy, guys. Have a great week.
All right, there we go. Sports Hangover continues next on ESPN New Orleans.
I feel passion growing. Advanced Eye Institute in Cutoff is your hometown eye care provider. Dr. Darby Chasson is here to serve the eye care needs of your entire family. Full-service eye medical and vision services are provided in a friendly atmosphere. For the latest in designer frames to advancements in astigmatism and bifocal contact lenses, call Advanced Eye Institute at 985-632-2884 for your appointment today or visit their website at visionsource-drdarbychasson.com.
You have a pest control problem? Roundtree's Pest Control and Supplies has an experienced staff that can guide you with the products to use yourself for your home or business. They carry a full line of professional products for termites, mosquitoes, ants, wasps, fleas, bed bugs, mice and rats, or any other pest control needs you may have. That's Roundtree's Pest Control and Supplies. Call 985-475-3314. That's Roundtree's Pest Control and Supplies.
Goodyear knows the importance of keeping momentum as you head down the stretch. Momentum starts with movement. It's pulled from the air like a contested rebound. Momentum builds with steals and fast breaks, and is proven by deep threes as the shot clock expires. Momentum is how we change the game, and now it's time to discover where it can take us. Goodyear, more driven.
In the Army National Guard, family means everything.
Our parents, they were really supportive that all five of us would join. I got my education because of the Guard. I got to travel a little bit and experience a whole different culture. It helped me get my job, helped me pay for my house.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard instills pride that you and your family will share. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Louisiana Army National Guard. Aired by the Louisiana Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Good afternoon. Let's hit it.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
The LSU baseball season has come to a conclusion. 15-6 yesterday, 4-2 on Saturday. Jordan, did you watch the game Saturday?
I did watch the LSU game.
Mistake
on Saturday.
Or understandable move to pull Hilliard in that game when LSU leading?
I think there was a bunch of other factors that played into the game.
I don't think that was the deciding factor.
I think there was errors throughout the entire weekend that cost LSU crucial runs. And I also thought that some of the base running wasn't the best by the LSU Tigers throughout the series.
Okay. Here's head coach Paul Maneri yesterday following the game, opening statements after the loss.
First of all, I'd like to congratulate the University of Tennessee and Coach Tony Vitello for their qualifying for the College World Series and winning the Super Regional. They have an outstanding ball club and clearly deserve the opportunity that they are going to have, and I wish them well. We just wasn't our day today, obviously. We felt good going into the game. Landon, kid's got so much courage and so much guts. What he did last weekend was unbelievable. But I could tell, pretty quickly that he just didn't have his normal stuff. He looked like he was out of gas right from the very beginning, and we didn't make the first play of the game for him, which put him into the stretch right away. And, I thought he threw a good pitch to Rucker, and Rucker went down and got the slider and hit it out of the ballpark. So obviously he didn't have the kind of bite to it that he normally does. And his velocity was really down, and just shows you what kind of competitor he is. He just gritted his teeth and battled his way through three innings, but I just could not in good conscience let him continue because he was really laboring out there to just get through the first three innings, and everything that kid has meant to our program and all he's given. And I know he's got a future ahead of him. I just couldn't, keep running him out there. So, we just thought we'd just start piecing it together. And then unfortunately, Garrett Edwards came in, and the first batter he faced, he threw a slider and just felt something pull in his arm. He's had some issues with a muscle pull. For a while we thought it was, was healed, but, it flared up on one pitch that he threw. And then the next bat, I think he gave up a base hit to that batter, and the next batter hit a home run off of him. And then he walked the next batter. And when we went out to the mound, he you know, he was being honest with Coach Dunn, and so we had to take him out of the game, and you know, things just kind of unraveled there, and then we just decided to go with AJ, and AJ held him down there for a couple of innings, but man, it's hard to hold them down in this ballpark for very long. You know, it just, the ball just jumps out of here. I'm not sure how many home runs they hit, but I think it was 6 or 7, if I'm not mistaken. So, you know, credit to them. They hit the ball better than we did today, and, you know, really, really pretty much did everything better than we did, and they deserve to win. So, you know, our season is over, and, you know, it's disappointing for our kids, but I'm really proud of our players. You know, a lot of people didn't expect us to get here, and, you know, we battled our way through the regional last year with our backs against, last weekend, and with our backs against the wall, and, you know, we had a tough ball game last night, and, you know, one bad inning, and then, you know, today we just, you know, didn't do what we needed to do. So, you know, we're going to put the bats away and call it a year. In my case, call it a career.
Obviously, he was emotional on the field, and we played it a little bit earlier. The reason he was emotional on the field had to do with him thinking of his father, his late father. And he was asked about the transition now that he is done officially being the head baseball coach for the Tigers.
No, I have some things that I'll need to, you know, do to help the new coach in the transition. And we have summer camp. We got to make sure we're good and organized with that. With Eddie Smith moving on to his new job, you know, we'll have to get that, taken care of. You said, you know, I don't know how you phrased that initially, but it's not what I think I need to do, but what the new coach asked me to do. I'm not going to in any way overstep my boundaries. I'll be there when he asks, you know, for any advice or has any questions, but I'll make myself available to him, but I will never overstep my boundaries, that's for sure. But I don't know, to be honest with you, Wilson. I'm not of clear thought right now about what the next step is. I'll have a night to think about it, and first I got to say goodbye to these kids, and then we'll see what the list is of what we got to do to wrap things up for this year and get everything prepared for the transition to the new coach.
Who will that be? We spoke with Glenn Gilba earlier in the show. Thinks Mike Bianco over at Ole Miss. And he thinks Dan McDonald should be somebody you give a call to. His two favorite leading candidates right now from Louisville. That baseball coach over there. Couple of trips to the regionals, couple of trips to Omaha. 50 years old in McDonald. Bianco obviously with the LSU ties. One final pulmonary bite here. And what he would give advice-wise or tell the next head baseball coach?
Oh, that's a tough question to answer right now, Ron. You know, it's kind of, you know, still feeling the bitterness of the season come to an end right now. I hadn't really thought too much about that. I just think that, you know, the new coach has to know that there's a lot expected of you here without question, you know. It's an awesome fan base. There's a lot of people that care about LSU baseball. You have a lot of resources, have a great administration. But you have to be confident in yourself, and you can't listen to the criticism too much and let it change you. You have to be confident in yourself and stick by what you believe. You know, you got to do it your way. And I've tried to do that without being arrogant with people. You know, I care about people, and I've tried to, you know, show people how important they are to me and to our team and to our program. You know, people are passionate about LSU baseball, and don't confuse, their passion with, you know, I don't know what the word is, you know, the criticism sometimes can hurt, but it's just because people are passionate about the program and you can't take it personal, if you know what I mean. And I think I would give the new coach that advice. Just be confident and go do your thing. And, you know, I'm going to still be in Baton Rouge hopefully for the rest of my life, and hopefully that'll be a long time. Karen and I built a house down in St. Gabriel, and I'm certainly not going to overstep my boundaries, but I'll be around to help and give advice in whatever way they ask of me, and just like Skip has done for me. So I want nothing but great things for this program going forward.
I'm bad. You know what I thought of immediately when he said, I mean, I'm going to be around. You got a new house just built and all this other. What you know what I thought of, huh?
What did you think?
Huh?
What was that noise?
Oh.
I thought you were trying to
play. No, I mean, you don't know what you think I am.
I don't know what you're thinking about.
You remember last week we were playing sound?
Still going to be? Oh,
and,
no.
And there was a certain somebody.
Oh, Sir Drew.
That every now and then keeps popping his head in and out of the building.
Oh, no.
All right, let's put this scheduled together.
Access Hello. Denied.
Hey, it's just me. Paul, I got it, man. I got it.
Show you some tips.
I know how to log in. I got my password written down. No, I don't mean like that. I mean, it's different, right? I mean, look, you're helping out. You're helping out. I don't know. LSU baseball fans, love to hear from you, though, if you'd like to chime into that about what you saw over the weekend. I don't know. I just got the sense and feel that people were just like, time to turn the next page, Jordan. I don't know. Like, I didn't even see a lot of, would I say, outrage on Twitter.
I think there's.
Saturday.
You mean Sunday?
Saturday. In the 4-2 loss.
Oh, gotcha.
You know? One final thing from Paul Manera, how do we remember his final team?
Well, even today we were down 11-2 and never gave up. You know, we just kept battling, and AJ came in and did a great job for us for a couple innings there, and we had some real quality at bats, and, you know, the Tidwell kid has a good arm. He's going to be an outstanding pitcher in this league for a couple more years, and somehow we got 6 runs off of him. I don't think he's probably given up 6 runs very frequently this year. He's outstanding. So our kids battled like crazy. You know, we got counted out a lot of times during the course of this year. And, you know, our guys never gave up. You know, they're a resilient bunch. And I love them to death. I'll always remember.
So there you go. Loves his team. And we'll see what happens there. 800-998-1003. Come back. You ready to get into some NBA playoffs? I want to get into some of the sound that we've heard as well.
Yes, a lot's happened.
True and not true. Do you think NBA officials call playoff games differently than regular season games? And then call certain playoff games differently to
certain players?
Yeah, I don't know.
Actually, just certain, not even games, certain players.
Yeah, let's discuss this a little bit. Let's do that when we come back. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans, your home for Pelicans basketball.
Clay Young here with John Conroy, the founder and owner of PestOp, your do-it-yourself pest control solution. Got a question for you, John.
Mm-hmm.
How do you control fleas?
Oh, that's a great question. I'm going to give you a secret.
Okay.
If I gave you something to treat the inside that killed the adults, the pre-adult stage, in 24 hours you'd think I was a hero.
That's right.
And in 5 to 7 days you'd think I was a goat.
Okay.
Because you got to retreat. People forget about the pupa stage. They are protected in that stage. They'll survive a nuclear holocaust.
Wow.
So I'm just telling you, it's going to take several treatments to get rid of them, whether you're treating the inside or outside.
I have watched you educate so many people on using your product. Tell us now where we can get it.
In Metairie, we're located at 3512 Severn Avenue next to the Pepper Mill. On the North Shore, we're at 1417 North Highway 190. That's in the same shopping center as Sherwin-Williams and Villery Florist. And on the West Bank, we're on the Palco just past the Harvey Bridge.
Because at Pest Stop,
we can help you with that.
Join us for our Memorial Day sales event going on now until June 1st at Southland Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Fiat in Houma. Get a great deal on a Ram truck today. See all their new commercial trucks and vans. Southland has the perfect vehicle for your business with Ram's long-lasting new pickups or their efficient new Ram work vans. Choosing the right one should be easy. Get more for your business with a new Ram truck or van at Southland Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Fiat, 6161 West Park Avenue in Houma. Here for you yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
Time is money.
Don't waste both running around looking for filters, batteries, and belts and related items. Fleet Supply Warehouse delivers. Fleet Supply offers daily scheduled delivery, including Bayou Lafourche, New Orleans, Morgan City, New Iberia, Lafayette, Thibodaux, Baton Rouge, the North Shore, plus the River Parishes too. Automotive, lawn equipment, agricultural, marine, or industrial. Fleet Supply Warehouse, 985-868-0430. Venture Boulevard, Houma.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Only one performance a day.
So let's get this show on the road, eh?
Now back to The Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
800-998-1003 is the number to give us a buzz here. As always, appreciate you joining us at ESPN Radio NOLA as well, Jordan. Tonight, two series, 76ers and Hawks, 6:30 TNT, Philly up 2-1. What's the one thing you take out of this series so far?
In the Philadelphia, Trae Young needs to be more dominant. If they stop Trae Young, then, you know, the 76ers basically have it in the series in the bag. That just let everyone else do the work and can't let Trae Young beat you. If you let Trae Young get going, mm-hmm. I think they're going to lose the series. But if they can contain Trae Young, then I think they're fine.
Game one, when Atlanta was blowing them out and then Philly came back, you know, and then Philly won game two, then won game three in Atlanta. There's a reason Philadelphia is the number one seed. You know, and I'm like you here. I think, obviously, they'd be up 3-1, but this is a must-win for Atlanta, don't you think?
Yeah. I mean, if you're the 76ers, kind of biting at the nails, because if you don't want to go be in the situation that the Nets are in right now where you're up two games to 0, and then all of a sudden now it's a series again, you're going back to your home court, and it's a tied series, and everything's basically back 0-0 in the series where you're starting from scratch. So that's the last situation I would want to be in if I was the Philadelphia 76ers.
Jazz and Clippers are going to follow at 9 o'clock tonight. And I think this is honestly as easy as Donovan Mitchell, right? I mean, it's two completely different teams. Up until this past weekend in Game 3, the Jazz had not lost when Donovan Mitchell was playing. And he injured himself at the end of Game 2. And that ankle injury, and it was tough to just kind of see that, man. It's tough, right? Don't you think?
Yeah, I think a lot of people, especially the national media, want to see a Clippers-Nets finals. But honestly, I'd much prefer watching Donovan Mitchell and CP me go at it in the Western Conference Finals just because of that guard play. And I don't know if it's just you. I know we talked about it last week, Gus, but the Clippers just don't interest me. I don't think they're like a very entertaining team, so to say. They have great players. Paul George and Kawhi Leonard are, you know, amazing athletes, and I think they're great at what they do. But I feel like there's a lack of personality when I'm watching them.
Really?
If you make any sense.
Yeah. Would you say right now the easiest team to sort of root for is the Suns?
Yeah, the Suns or the Bucks, because no one has any faith in the. And the Bucks winning that series.
Well, they did in the first two games
exactly.
For a very good reason, though, Jordan. I mean, they got absolutely smoked. And that's a different team, obviously, without Kyrie Irving and how that goes.
Yeah, and without James Harden, you kind of go back to last week, the storyline. Well, do they need James Harden to even, you know, go forward even further into the playoffs, beating some of these teams? And it looks like that they're having trouble with, you know, the big men in Giannis and some of the other guys that are on the Milwaukee Bucks as of right now. So if Brooklyn does make it out of the East, then it'd be very interesting to see if they can even take on a guy like Rudy Gobert or a guy like DeAndre Ayton in the NBA Finals if either of those teams make it there.
Jeff Van Gundy was talking about if Kevin Durant can do it alone, because you do see a lot of people referencing Kevin Durant as, you know, the best basketball player. Who do you think is the best basketball player in the world?
As of now, Kevin Durant. Just because you saw what he did in the previous, you know, I think it was game one or game two, when the game was getting tight, he just, you know, basically didn't even have to tell his teammates anything. got the ball, shot mid-range, put it over the guy, and he just didn't miss. So I would say Kevin Durant is the best player in the world as of right now.
They need more of a five-man offensive emphasis where not on every possession they're trying to go to him to create every shot. I think Jeff Green is a good addition back in their lineup. You know, they've got to get Joe Harris being more productive. They have very good complementary players, but they're going to be stressed now to produce in high-level situations if Harden isn't back or Irving isn't back, and it's going to be more difficult, but they can't think that Durant alone will bail them out. So Durant's got to be great. Maybe they get more favorable whistles as far as how much contact is allowed in Game 5, but then the other guys are going to have to produce.
I'll one-up you here, Gus. I'll go full Max Kellerman.
Oh, we going full Max?
So let's say that James Harden and Kyrie Irving don't play for the remainder of the series for some reason or another, and Kevin Durant absolutely carries this Brooklyn Nets team to the NBA Finals or the Eastern Conference Finals, and the other two superstars on the Nets continue not to play. What do you think that will be for Kevin Durant's legacy? You think that
We're going legacy?
Yeah, legacy.
Oh, legacy.
You think that kind of, you know, helps his legacy out from, you know, trying to go to superstar teams? Because he does have the cupcake, a lot of players kind of call him cupcake.
I'll say this. Games 1 and 2. Left you going, can anyone beat them?
Yeah.
And it was 2 of 3.
That was our question of the day.
And it was 2 of 3. He still is very good. And I don't know if it would go for legacy, although I think it's only fair to indeed say, well, look, I mean, a lot of these teams that have won titles, you got to have more than one player and stuff. I mean, if Harden and Kyrie are now out, or at least battling injury, I still think he's a guy that can, I mean, he's going to score 30, right?
At least.
Here's the problem with the Nets. Remember we had the guy on that talked about the Nets?
Size.
He said size down low, and here's the other thing. They don't play defense. They're not accustomed to playing defense. They don't believe in defense.
Yeah, got to score 120 to beat them.
Which they can do when they have their offensive. Like, look, Harden carried this team a while when Durant and Kyrie was out, but Harden is capable of 30, 40 a game. Hamstrings, ankles, they're not going to heal the rest of the series, right? I mean, you're going to have to work through it and play through it and try to buy time to it. That's why I'm so bummed out about Donovan Mitchell. He was playing incredible in game 2, and then him and Paul George collided and landed on his ankle. I mean, it just, you've seen it. Did he look at all like Donovan Mitchell the previous 5-6 games? Game 3?
No.
No. It just, can he do it? Here's Wojnarowski. Just a little bit ago, the latest on Kyrie and Harden's health. First with Irving.
I don't think there's a great expectation that he can turn this around and be ready for game 5, but he's got a day in between here for treatment, for rehab on that ankle. But it sure felt last night like, I don't know if the word's a significant sprain, but certainly a real sprain. And I don't think, and I think it'll be the same with James Harden, you know, we'll have a real sense until tomorrow pregame. But I think with Kyrie Irving, the Nets were certainly preparing for the reality that they wouldn't have him in game 5 and perhaps even longer. But, you know, sometimes with injuries, the x-rays were negative. Perhaps there's a way that turns around in the next 24, 48 hours. But certainly the Nets were prepared for worse than that.
7:30 tomorrow night, Buck at Nets. Let me tell you what, Milwaukee wins that game. You know, I mean, it's just remarkable to me, the Turner. I mean, Jordan, it wasn't a basketball game.
I'm telling you what, if
games 1 and 2.
If they turn over this series, the Bucks organization better be kissing the ground. Because there was about to be an absolute barrage on that organization on getting Giannis out of there, getting him out.
A lot's being made of the officiating. Well, not just Giannis, because I'm going to play a bite here in Woj on Budenholzer. His job's on the line. Steve Javi does officiating now for ESPN, like, you know, the commentating on behalf of that. He had this to say about, do the officials let them play in the playoffs?
There has never been a directive, as long as I've been officiating, never been a directive saying, okay, playoff time, let them play.
Okay.
Now, I'll tell you what the difference is, guys. The players don't play the same. I mean, in game 60 of this regular season is not being played the same as game 4 of the round 2 of the semifinals when teams are now getting after it. The intensity level picks up, the physicality picks up, and the referees have to be ready in order to meet that physicality with their concentration the way they referee. So in my opinion, they're taught to officiate the same way. It's the players that play differently. They contest just about every rebound. They contest every possession. In game 60, they're not doing that.
Do you buy that?
No.
I don't either. Now, that when he said the directive, or do you think it's just the officiating crews have sort of taken the onus on themselves there? It is interesting he says there hasn't been a memo or something per se from that perspective, but as long as I can remember watching NBA,
there was a little
playoff
bit of
basketball.
More of a play completely... on, yeah, there's more, all right, play on in the final 2 minutes of the game, but it unless you're the New Orleans Pelicans, then you're, you know.
Well, again, because a lot was made of, and again, I believe me, no one in New Orleans is shedding a unicorn tear, much less a real tear, or a bead of sweat thanks to the humidity in this city, on officiating, especially to the Nets. You basically ensemble the team that absolutely should throttle people with those three guys, and now you're complaining about officiating.
Yeah.
Oh, Milwaukee has to do that, though.
They have
to be physical.
The Nets should live at the line.
Here's Brian Windhorst, and we'll call it an hour.
The game yesterday, P.J. Tucker was allowed to get away with incredible amounts of physicality on Kevin Durant. There was actually big-time physical play allowed throughout that entire game, but it really showed up with Tucker on Durant. But, you know, Giannis Antetokounmpo got a whole bunch of charges called against him as well. So I think, because of where the Nets are, they've lost two of their three best players. And let's just be honest, they now need the whistle more than they did a week ago when they were up 2-0. So I expect the Nets, and especially their crowd, to put immense pressure on the officials tomorrow. They need Durant to get to the line. They need Tucker and Giannis in foul trouble.
Nothing makes me want to watch a game more than knowing how the officials are going.
Playoff basketball, watch guys shoot free throws.
Oh, my gosh.
That sounds entertaining.
Yep. Hey.
Let's let the guys play through, you know, rough it up a little bit.
When we come back, Steve Javi on if P.J. Tucker's being too aggressive.
Going to places far, so far away, and if that's not enough.
When you're sick, you want to be close to home. World-class medicine doesn't require a trip to the city because the best care is close to home at Thibodeau Regional. We're continually adding new services, and our team of physicians has grown to more than 250. That's